World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dottenmeyer.
Yeah, that'd be me. And, you know, it's funny today. I don't think when I put this together, let me see here today. This is show number, what is it, Spence? Say it again, bud. 2,646 shows. That is unbelievable, isn't it? Really? 2,646 shows. Phil, I'm doing a little bit of reminiscing right now because I went back to London. London, Ohio yesterday for our buddy, Dr. Mike Byers' 75th birthday. And I don't care who you are, man. You start traveling back into time and the life that you was and where I got sued by the ACLU and coaching that football team and how great we were and what a great family atmosphere we had. And just those memories. Wouldn't that be something to do a really, really great study on? Where does your brain keep memories? Where does that? Because, you know, we would drive by old Von Kennel Field, and boom, I'd have a flashback in my mind. I remember this happened there, that happened there. And then I would drive by the old football field downtown. Oh, and I remember being in that locker room. Vivid, you know what I'm talking about? Vivid memories, like, boo, you're there. Just for a split second in your mind, you're there. Wow. How does that work? This world around us. I don't know, man. It's crazy stuff. Crazy. A lot going on, man. First of all, second of all, third of all, I appreciate you coming in here every day. And I don't know what this is. And I just flicked something up. I was looking at. Help me say this in the right way, Ray. Where are so many of those people who used to be here? Where are they? What happened to them? They were good buddies. And, you know, I understand some feel sometimes like a pastor, people could come into church. I understand that. But, God, where are those people? Why did they stop coming around? And that's probably a pastor, something the pastor deals with why people don't come around anymore. It's probably not something I said or did. You just move on. Maybe it's getting up early in the morning, all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate all of you getting up and sharing your time with us. And I get some pretty good stuff I want to share with us again today. And before we get too deep, don't forget this Saturday, locals anyway, more details to follow. Saturday night, we're going to have a gathering. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Carl and Faith Kennedy, we're going to have get together on Saturday night. We'll get you more. If you're interested in coming, you're local, like maybe you could drive 35 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever, and you really want to kind of huddle together with real people that you can touch, come. Look, they aren't super religious. It's not cultish. It's not anything like that. We just get together, man. We eat, we fellowship, we pray a little bit, we discuss. And so if you're interested in coming, Spencer, put my contact information there. Just put coach ptsalt@gmail.com. Just put that in the chat. ptsalt@gmail.com. Say, Coach, I'd like some more information about this. Because, folks, look, that's it. Thanks, man. So if you're interested in going on and want more information, shoot me an email. Say, I've never been there. Look, we're not a cult. They're normal people. You would come here and you'd run into people like Gene Schroeder, if you can believe that. Well, I mean, Gene isn't going to be there, but a regular guy, just a regular guy. Huh? You're going to run into a guy like Ray LeBlanc, just a regular guy. And, you know, the scripture said, I'm all over the place here. I ran into some people again this weekend and through a discussion I had, all of them are disgruntled with their local church. All of them are disgruntled with it. because the local church won't deal with the issues of the day. I'm going to dive into some of this here in a second. And that part of the confusion that I want to dive into, and I've done it before. Let me get my notes back up here because I don't want to forget to say something that's really, really important. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Here's the lie of lies, in my opinion. And I love this song. I love this song. I'm playing it because I love it. But it's totally, completely wrong, in my opinion. Go and play it, Spencer, number one. Dennis Quaid, I'm on my way to heaven.
Be roses, but still I'm gonna be alright. Long as I got my Savior by my side. He freed me from the heavy chains that had bound my broken heart. Picked me up, gave me a brand new start. Now I'm on my way to heaven, on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven, so I can't be staying long. I was serving time in prison, in a solitary cell, sentenced by a judge and jury of myself. And it blessed me, forgave me, touched me with his love, shine down all his glory from above. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long.
I want to make things
okay,
right.
Cut it off there. Cut it off there, Spencer. Because that's a real premise. Are we on our way to heaven? Is that the whole goal of this life, going to heaven? Well, there's only one problem with that. Let me see if I find it over here. How many of you out there know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What? I thought we're going to heaven. No, no. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. And when your kingdom comes, your will be done. Where? On earth. As it is in heaven. Why are we so hell-bent on going to heaven when the job that the Lord taught us to do was to help his kingdom come? Come. We're supposed to be walking in the kingdom now. The reason I pulled the Dennis Quaid song back is because he's talking about going to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Well, good. I'm glad. But is that really it? Is that what it's supposed to be? I got a lot of stuff today. And if you ask somebody, pull up number three. Hang on a minute. Got a question for the class this morning. If the kingdom of God is not heaven, and we're praying for thy kingdom come, what would that look like? If God's kingdom, how about this? Spencer, look up quickly, not quickly, Dominion. Dominion. Sovereign or supreme authority, the power of governing and controlling. The dominion of the Most High. In other words, the area on which God is totally in control. Now, we know he's totally in control. We understand that. He's totally in control, but he doesn't control everything. He doesn't micromanage everything. And so he gave us kingdom principles that we're supposed to live by. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Well, what's it like in heaven? He's in charge. He's in charge in heaven. And he wants his kingdom to come so we can expand his kingdom here on earth. Am I making sense to anybody but me? And we have this total confusion, in my opinion, that we're supposed to pray here on earth so we make it into the kingdom. And he said, no, go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. We are to go and expand the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where, Ray?
On earth,
as it is in heaven. So truly, people hate the word Christian dominionism. They think it's not righteous when God is in control of everything. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth, he said, and I give it unto you. But you know what? We spend most of Christianity talking about heaven as a place where we are going, when in fact, heaven and the kingdom are not the same thing. Jesus Christ rules and reigns here, right now. Where's the kingdom of God? Where's the kingdom? Where's the kingdom? Somebody answer that for me. Where's the kingdom?
It's within.
Not some place you're going. It's something that's coming. Michelle and I have been in our own walk with the Lord here. We all have some rough seas. Michelle and I don't have rough seas, but sometimes you feel like your life, you're sailing through rough seas. You might ever feel that. And I'm hanging on to her and she's hanging on to me and we're sailing through rough seas. And it's because why? Because in this world that we live, we have not allowed his kingdom, his dominion to come. We're to go into all the world and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, right? Does anybody agree with that? And is that being taught in our church, that when you go to your church on Sunday, when church is over, pardon me a second, I'm going to use a, when I get done in church on Sunday, what in the hell am I supposed to do? Have you ever thought about that? I would think that when you go to church on Sunday, it's to get a command or marching orders on how to advance the kingdom. Instead, we go to church and we pray that the devil won't touch us. And we're going to stay away from politics, and we're going to get in our little huddle in the church, and we're just going to hide from the devil until we make it to heaven. Somebody say amen. That's the theology we're being taught. That is not the theology of Jesus Christ. You say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth. Why isn't it coming? That's not coming because they're telling us we're not to get involved with politics. We're not to mix religion and politics. And politics is the battleground where God's kingdom is being advanced. Is Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yes or no? And we would say, well, yes, he is. Oh, but not in America because we have a constitution. The constitution's more powerful than Jesus. And so we're not going to be able to teach our children in schools. We're not going to be able to teach them the Ten Commandments in schools, the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to teach them that they have a spiritual side because why? Somebody told us there's a separation between the church and the state. How can there be if we're told his kingdom come? Our job is to go to all the world, teach them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. We're supposed to go and promote Jesus Christ's kingship over the world, and the church won't do it. Why won't the church do it? Because they're on their way to heaven. Anybody, are you guys tracking with me out there? Spencer, I don't know if you can do this. Google real quickly, Christian dominionism. By the way, you know, there is such a thing as Christian dominionism. And boy, do they hate it. Look at this. Look at this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Christian dominionism is a political ideology. What? A political ideology? It's a command from our king. Yes or no? It's a political theology arguing that Christians are called to take control of government, culture, societal institutions to establish a nation based on biblical law. Boom. Who would disagree with that? From a biblical standpoint, who would disagree with that? When Jesus said, go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, wouldn't that be Christian dominionism? Yes or no? Is Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No, he's not. Not in your schools, not in your government. Oh, no, no. In your house and in your church. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's King of Kings there. But as soon as church service is over, you get out of that church and don't you say anything about him. You keep it to yourself. Yeah, amen. Oh, please, don't bring politics into the church. Oh, no, don't talk about abortion, homosex, and adultery. Oh, don't talk about that in the church, because we don't mix religion and politics. And then the freaking Pope comes out, and he's a commie. Yeah, somebody say amen. The Pope is a commie. American amen, communist coach. Pope. Boom. And if you can't see and understand that the Pope, former Catholic here. I think I am still one. I don't think they threw me out. The Pope comes out in opposition to the president. By the way, religion is supposed to be the conscience of the nation. I've got no problem with that. But do you have any idea how many people do everything the Pope tells them to do? Do you understand how much division the Pope brought into Catholicism and Republicanism? Does anybody see that other than me?
Boom.
When the Pope came out specifically and began to question the President of the United States, did he question Nancy Pelosi? She's a good old Catholic girl, isn't she? Did the Pope, huh? Did he question her? Did the Pope question the propagation of pornography and child molestation and child trafficking? Did he come out and talk about that? No, 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 no. He just came out and talked about commie, huh? And then he got a little bit backlash. Look, I'm not mad. Hey, if you're Catholic and you're getting offended, I'm sorry. I'm not against Catholics. But is the Pope, which side's the Pope on? Is the Pope on the Lord's side? Whose side is he on? Is the Pope on the same side as Billy Graham? Is the Pope on the same side as TD Fakes? Whose side is the Pope on? This isn't about the Pope. It's about confusion and lies in American Christianity where they told you, don't push your morality on anybody, keep your faith to yourself, and stay out of politics. Vinny, that would be a boom.
Boom.
That would be a boom. And we're in the mess that we are in today because why? We have withdrawn from politics. So dominionism is an umbrella term for previous Protestant and some some Catholic movements aimed at controlling modern life. Hey, does anybody out there think that when you become a Christian, that Christ is not supposed to control modern life? Does anybody think that's scandalous? What? Focusing on expanding the kingdom of God on earth. Babe, on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long. What? I love the song. What? dude, Christ has taken over. Don't you understand? He's taken over through us. Oh, those dominions. Soft dominionism is good, isn't it? Soft dominionism is the view that America is a Christian nation and that Christians should occupy key positions in society. So let's vote in Vivek Ramaswamy. Let's vote him. Hard dominionism is the belief that government should be run solely by Christians based on biblical law. I don't believe in hard dominionism, but I believe we ought to know right now, we ought to make them identify in Congress when they're running, what's their religious affiliation? Anybody think that'd be a good idea? You're running, you're an atheist? Okay, thank you. You're running, you're what? You're a Buddhist? Okay. You're running and you're a Muslim? Okay. Yeah. Anybody here Christian? Is anybody here Christian? Yeah, I'm Christian. Okay. How do we know you're Christian? So that's what I say. Why should Vivek Ramaswamy, where'd he come from? Where did Vivek Ramaswamy come from? Out of all the people who've been fighting their whole life to be governor of the state of Ohio, we're going to get a Hindu. How did that happen? I know how. Because nature abhors a vacuum. So when Christian people said, we're going to take our hands, we're not going to get involved with politics, well, then we get Mike DeWine, and we get Vivek Ramaswamy, and we get Barack Hussein Obama. Is anybody tracking with me out there? Because why? I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you like to come along? No, I would like to expand his kingdom here on earth before I do.
Amen.
Hey, look, I'm all over whether you like it or not. Do you think, come on now, do you think they would let me in a pulpit to talk about this? Huh? The people are just dead sitting on their butts. On their way to heaven. They don't care about their neighbor. They don't care about their neighbor's kids. They don't care that lies are being taught to their children in public schools. They say, well, we'll just get our kids out of there. No, 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 no. We should be taking over the public schools. It should be the atheist kids who are bussed out to learn whatever the hell they want to learn. What's the greatest, strongest, largest group of people in America? Christians. Boy. So the New Apostolic Reformation, thank you, Spencer. I'll send you $5. The NAR is a Calvinist, I'm sorry, a modern Pentecostal aligned. Now, somebody help me out. What does that mean? Spencer, real quickly for these guys because they're slow learners. What does Pentecostal mean? See if you can find that. What is Pentecostal? Pentecostal is a Protestant Christian movement emphasizing direct personal experience of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wow, get rid of them folks. Get them out of here. We don't want anybody to have a direct personal experience of God through the Holy Spirit. Oh, get me out of there. No, let's stay Lutheran and Church of God and Church of God in Christ and Lutheran and Catholic and Methodist. And let's stay that. Let's stay away from that, that Christian movement of the Holy Spirit. You get my tracking with me? Because, hey, if you get into Pentecostalism, oh, my goodness. Go back there, Spencer. Hey, it's right there. Oh, my goodness. Baptism and the Holy Spirit, a central experience distinct from conversion, offered evidence by speaking. Who cares if it has speaking? Who cares? It's a prophetic experience distinct from conversion. Something deeper happened in them. And Pentecostalism teaches that Paul Goslin has spiritual gifts. And Mary Beth has a spiritual gift. And Glenn has a spiritual gift. And David Arthur has a spiritual gift. You don't just go sit there and let the pastor read this week's sermon and go home, see you next week. And worship style known for passion, energetic, and emotional worship. So, no kidding. Rather than those old dead songs that they play, just that old dead stuff. You mean Pentecostalism represents life and energetic and emotion? Really? Well, get that out of Christianity. And the origin traces roots to the early 20th century Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles. Somebody help me out here. Doesn't the Bible say that in the last days he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh? Didn't it say that? Hey, Spencer, quickly, see how good you are. When was the, I just lost it, the Azusa Street Revival? When was that, Spencer? By the way, this is all off the cuff, in the Holy Spirit something. The Azusa Street Revival, 1906 to 1915. Wasn't that long ago, boys and girls? It was a historic Pentecostal. What? Hey, Ray, stop a minute. What does that mean, Pentecostal? What does it mean to be non-Pentecostal? Help me out there first, Ray. What does it mean to be non-Pentecostal? Well, we have to identify what Pentecostal means, don't we? So hang on here, class. Spencer, what does it mean to be Pentecostal? Pentecostal is a Protestant movement. You guys that write this crap. A Protestant movement emphasizing direct personal experience of God through the Holy Spirit. By the way, guilty. I'm guilty. Anybody else out there guilty of it?
Guilty.
Huh? And what do? They make us look like freaks. Who does? The religious world, because they're bound in religion. Powerless religion. And what ushered in the Pentecostal movement? Well, the Azusa Street. Go back there. Azusa Street. In the early 1900s. What? Yeah, it's a new thing. God's doing a new thing. In the last days, and all of you out there believe in the last days, don't you? I hear that all the time. God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Historic Pentecostal movement in Los Angeles by African-American preacher William Seymour, beginning at 312 Azusa Street. It was characterized by interracial worship. Are you kidding me? Blacks and whites got together? Speaking in tongues. Oh, get them out of here. That's the devil. Get them out of here. And divine healing, sparking the global Pentecostal and charismatic movements. And the revival, which featured nearly continuous services, is widely considered the origin of modern Pentecostalism. Hey, Ray, help me out here. I keep looking at you, and you're running a church, and I didn't mean it to sound that way. How would you define Pentecostalism, Ray?
Well, basically just what you read there is, and I can't improve on what they're saying.
Just the movement of the Holy Spirit, yeah. The gifts of the flowing, mm-hmm. Right? So if we have a Pentecostal movement, what's this other church thing? What's this other church thing that's praying for what? Praying to not get involved, not be criticized, don't judge, don't do anything. When in 1905, God brought the Holy Spirit, breathed the Holy Spirit, and a Pentecostal movement arose, and then it became crazy with T.D. Fakes and Benny Finn and all these guys running around doing crazy stuff, when really all it was to empower the Christian to do what? Thank you, Lord, to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And whether you've picked up on this or not, what I'm talking with you about right now, I had no intention of talking about it, except the Holy Spirit took control. Now, does that seem woo, 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 woo when I say the Lord said to me? People who don't understand Pentecostalism, the movement of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he who was with you shall be in you. People who've never experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they don't get it. They go to church, they sing a few songs, they hear a good sermon, and then they go home, and they couldn't care less about child trafficking or transgenderism or homosex being taught to their children or the government stealing people or women's rights to choose. They have a form, Bible says, a form of godliness denying the power thereof. And by the way, it says, from such men, turn away. I find that because they think I'm lying. Find that for me, Spencer. Where is that? I need reinforcement. Ray, this is good, isn't it? It's good. Gee, Minnie, what he Spencer says, what am I looking for? Well, I don't even, what did I say? I don't even know. What, can anybody tell me anywhere, anytime, anything that God is not supposed to be involved with? When we're called the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And are you really seriously telling me that some guy's going to stand in the pulpit and tell you not to get involved with politics? You don't tell me that? And if I'm ever standing in the pulpit, I'm going to say, if you are, by the way, if you are in this church and you believe abortion is a woman's right, please leave. Please leave. Because abortion is not a political issue. It's the murder of children created in the image of God. And if you don't understand that, I have failed you as a pastor. Please find someplace else to go. Here, we defend unborn children.
Boom.
Here, we say abortion is a sin and there is forgiveness. That's what we say here. But we never say to you that abortion is okay because it ain't. And what happens? Pastors won't talk about it. Why? Why won't they talk about it? Because Mary might leave. So they'd rather have Mary sit there beside Susie. One loves the Lord and unborn babies, and the other wants to kill them. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? And we let them be together in the same church congregation. Are you kidding me? Tell me you're kidding me. I'm going to try to jump off this horse, although I'm just getting started. Come on in, Adam.
Morning, everyone. Yeah, Coach, I have conversations just like this with a lot of people. And you know what I hear? Well, I vote for policies because at the end of the day, we don't know who really is a Christian or not just because they say they are. And yeah. At the end of the day, we're going to escape and everything's going to burn anyway. So it doesn't matter. That's their lame excuse.
I mean, so Adam. Is communism biblical?
No, it's demonic.
Well, why does the church put up with welfare? You know why the church puts up with welfare? You sitting down? Because if they can get the government to take care of the needy, they don't have to. Then they can build bigger churches and have new blacktop every year and smoke machines. So if they just turn the care of the needy over to the government and tax everybody, then the church, wow, then the church has got plenty of money to do things that will highlight the service and make it a good experience, and people will come. That's the truth. Come on in, Alan.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Just real quick. I thank God for crazy apostolics like Tony Spell. Everybody else was shut down too, and hunkering in the bunker. He was like getting with it.
I thank God for a crazy one like you.
Amen, Coach. I tell you what, when people come down with cancer real bad or whatever, they'll hunt down an apostolic church or pastor and want them to pray for them. Amen. And that's sad. You know, hey, I used to be a Baptist. I used to be a Catholic. And then my eyes opened up. Praise God.
Yes, me too. What would you... I'm losing my train of thought a lot here. There's a lot going on in my head. Hey, friends, do you understand this? That we serve the King of Kings. All power, Jesus Christ said to his church, has been given unto me, and I give it to you. And now that I've given you that power, I want you to go take over every political office in America. No, Coach. We're not supposed to get involved in politics. Can somebody show me where that would be? See, are you ready? They ought to criminalize baby murder and then punish the women who do it. We feel sorry for baby murderers. Yes or no? Come on, folks. Huh? You think Jesus is pro-abortion?
Hey, Coach, that would put a stop to women getting abortions a little bit more.
But Mary Beth, the church doesn't raise that standard. The church doesn't raise that standard.
Don't I know it?
And so because salt has lost its savor, it becomes good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Go ahead, Ray. And George is next. Go ahead, Ray. Am I doing okay, yeah. Ray? Am hey, I doing yeah, okay,
amen.
Ray?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, Spencer, if you don't mind, if you could click on that link I'm bringing up right now, right there, and see what... There's your two churches. There's your people on the left. That's the Friendship Evangelism Church. Until those people on the left go over to the church on the right, nothing's going to be accomplished.
So that's meet the Friendship Evangelist. Go back against that. Be yeah. cool. Come to church. I'll give you food, water, and help you, but I'll never talk about sin, righteousness, or judgment. Free food, mm-hmm. cold drinks, good vibes. But mm-hmm. I will invite you to church. No offense here, just fun and friends.
That's 9 out of 10 Christians going to that church. Now, cool. this is the real church on the other side, Spencer, cool. that you had brought up.
Go ahead.
If you can click on the other side. Here's the true church. You preach this kind of stuff, and you're going to go someplace. So I had posted that.
The need for repentance. Judgment is coming. Turn from sin. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's already here. The kingdom of God is within right. you. I have that Bible verse, just a second. Jesus calls you, God's judgment is real. Jesus calls you to repentance. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he die? It was a propitiation for our sins, but he hated sin so much he died for it. And then he said, you are of your father, the devil. And the works of your daddy, you will do. Sorry if I'm stepping on some toes. Just trying to give you the truth. I got more. Come on in, George. He must have hit the wrong button.
I did. Okay. So I want to talk about the Holy Ghost. Holly, my wife, is so frustrated. She says, you've alienated everyone. Just stop it. This is what the Lord showed me. Okay. And I'm going to just say it. This is Daniel chapter 4. Now I'm going to say, to preface this, I've been talking about the earth's flat. The center of the earth is the black rock, which is 3 times higher than Mount Everest. It's a magnet. Okay. That's why our compass is pointing north. This is what the Lord showed me last night. Thus, this is Daniel chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, and then 22 and 23. Thus were the visions in my head, in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven. And the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. Verse 22. Okay. 21. The leaves, whose leaves
hey,
were
George, there. George, where are yeah. you? Where are you, George?
Daniel chapter 4, verse 22 and 23.
Okay, pull it up, Spencer. Daniel.
Daniel 4, 22 and 23. Okay. The tree of life. Okay. He's talking about the tree of life and verse 10 and 11. Now, 22 and 23. It is thou, O King, that thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher, okay, them fallen angels, a watcher, and the Holy One coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, and leave the stump and the roots thereof and the earth, and even with a band of iron and brass. Guess what? When you mix iron particles with brass, it becomes a magnet. Okay, so the fallen angels or the watchers, whatever, chopped the tree of life down. It's in the center of the earth. Trump wants to annex Greenland. Spencer, could you please pull up the undersea communication cables, underwater undersea communication cables? This is not based on a globe. It's based
okay,
on.
Hang on. Hey, George.
Yep.
Let's
what
go.
I'm saying is this. Yep.
George, are you listening?
Yeah.
You're taking this in an entirely different direction.
Okay.
We'll be in a couple more minutes.
Yeah, okay. That's all I'm saying is this. So the magnet that our compass is pointing north to is in the center of the earth where everybody, okay.
What's your point?
I'm just telling you about what the Holy Ghost showed me, and that's
and
it.
What's the point? What's the point?
The Holy Ghost comes. I guess I don't know. But thanks for letting me speak.
Sure. Okay. So again, here's what I think. I think this. I think I told you the other day, Earth flat, not flat. We can argue that all you want to. Meanwhile, they're teaching homosex to my children at school. I think there's bigger fish to fry. And I would say that George may be onto something here. But can I do anything about chemtrails? I mean, okay, yeah. Let's say I can do something about chemtrails. In the meantime, what about their teaching my neighbor's kids homosex? Which one can I have greater impact on? And I think it's coming, the point that I'm trying to make coming back here is we're supposed to be involved in every area of the world. Teach them to observe. Teach them to observe. Teach them to observe. And we don't do that. We fund our public schools. We allowed the whatever you want to call them, the judges to tell us that that Almighty God ain't Almighty. He's in control, but he ain't in control of America. He's not in control of into people's lives. Oh, he's all powerful, all right. But by the way, he wants the separation between church and the state. He doesn't want to be king over America. He doesn't. Well, he told us to go into all the world. He told us to have nothing to do with unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. He told us to do that. It baffles me. Absolutely baffles me. Go, Dale.
Hallelujah, Coach. I want to go back to this Pentecostal. It's not a theme. It's not a movement. It didn't start in 1906. It started in Acts chapter 2, Amen. Brother. And Amen. We see the power of it wasn't happening inside of the church. It was happening out when Peter and James were on their way up to the synagogue. So they were going to church that day. Okay, let's be real. I believe in home church. I believe in the church, right? But church is not a building. It is us. And they looked and the beggar who had been there every day begging for the alms, right? Crippled. Yep. And what did Peter say? Let me tell you what a pastor really looks like. Silver and gold I have not. But what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. Yep. In the name of the power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, rise get up and walk. Watch, he destroyed the welfare system. That guy not only got to get up and walk, he got to go get a job and go work. And I mean, I know it doesn't say that, but I'm telling you, Coach, the when it says the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you, that word is dunamis. That's Amen. Where we get the word dynamite. Because in James chapter 3, it says, the Son of Man has come to do what? To destroy the works of darkness.
That's right. Not get in bed with it, not voted into office. Right? Right? My people are destroyed. Hey, Ray, you're a good scholar up there. Why are people destroyed, Ray?
Yeah, for the lack of knowledge, and the knowledge is of God. There's worldly knowledge and godly knowledge.
So help me out here, Ray. What's the question again? Who told you that? And why do you believe it? Why is it the non-charismatic churches don't really believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit? The outward expression of God, of going into all the world and teaching them to observe all I've commanded. Why is it only the charismatic churches that seem to be doing something about it? However, charismania has been stolen too, and charismania is all about being blessed. Make me healthy, wealthy, and wise, and loved. And that's what the charismatic, the devil always counterfeits. He always counterfeits. You know, if you were really filled with the Holy Spirit, you would be out contending to death for those young children at the abortion clinics. Would anybody disagree with that? You would be out contending if you really were filled with the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't be asking God to bless you and give you a nice job and a good house and a new spouse. You wouldn't be messing around with that. Lord might say, you know, hey, dude, get your butt out there at the abortion clinic and start defending those babies. You might find a wife. Oh, catch my breath. Yeah, let's see you. David Arthur, come on in. We've been so brainwashed, Beth Yates, you're right. We're so damn brainwashed.
Here we are. And you know what, Coach? You know who showed up at the Gorham Drag Queen story time? The Catholics. That's who showed up. That's who showed up. And every time I hear these candidates and these legislators talking about we have to bring down the taxes and we have to clean up our streets and we have to get rid of the immigrants and we have to do this and we have to worry about the school budget. We're not worried about these babies that are being put on these puberty blockers which are synthetic.
Couldn't care less.
They're being mutilated. They're being butchered. They're being sterilized. They're being trafficked. They're being placed in homes with no paperwork. There's no rhyme or reason. And all the only ones that are suffering, if they don't get them in the womb, then they get them throughout their childhood, anywhere that children gather. The only ones that suffer throughout all of this, while the adults are talking about their taxes and the price of gas and their food, is their babies are being mutilated and butchered and experimented on.
Amen. Hey, David, Paul Gosling just put something in the chat that I think is true. He said Catholics don't agree with the Pope.
That's right. I spoke to a lot of traditional Catholics out there, and they said they don't follow the Pope. They follow Jesus the Christ.
Then how did he become the vicar of Christ? When you have a guy like that, who in so many ways is anti-Christian, certainly anti-American, come on. And he doesn't represent the people. You guys ever say that, stand up and say, well, he doesn't speak for me. You say about a politician. Can I say this? A lot of pastors don't speak for me. Sorry. Hang on, I'm going to get you. Jack, excuse me. Jack, and then give me some time. I got something else I want to share. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, David, I got a text from one of the Republicans, actually quite a good watchdog guy, and he's going, well, why is he in there? He's on the sex offender list. Huh? Okay, here we go, right off the bat, right every stinking time. Hey, I want to give you a little example of who told you that and why do you believe it? And this goes for a few of the people that believe things that are a little nuts. My daughter, my middle daughter, is brilliant. She's a corpsman in the Navy. She's done time on a mercy ship. She's gung-ho. But you know what? She's terrified of water. So I'm going to tell you, this is nuts. She has totally convinced herself that that the ocean is no more than 6 feet deep. She believes that in her head so that she can sail on the mercy ship and do her job. So who told you that and why do you believe it? You can convince yourself that the earth is flat or oblong or square, but reality may be just a hair different.
Might be just a hair different, huh? Amen. Okay, let me connect the dot here for you, okay? I had some really, really good stuff here today. I hope I pull up the right one. Pull up for me number 12, Justice Explained. Friends, we have to have justice in America. We have to have justice in America. We need biblical justice in America. We need perp walks. We need, folks, remember, high crimes doesn't have to do with the degree of the crime. It has to do with the position of the criminal. When a senator violates the law, that is automatically a high crime because the person in authority is high. You understand? High crimes and misdemeanors. So what does the Bible say? I just pulled this up. That's what I love about it. The Bible teaches us that justice is central to God's character. What? God's character, central, and calls believers to act fairly, defend the oppressed, uphold righteousness in all areas of life. At least half of Congress ought to be thrown in jail, my opinion. What's God's justice? Bible portrays God as inherently just, whose ways are perfect and faithful, and who hates wrongdoing and partiality. In other words, favoritism. God's justice is not only about punishment, and it is about punishment, but maintaining moral rightness and fairness and equality, equity through creation. He ensures that all wrongs and ultimately be addressed. And his judgments are true and righteous altogether. And that Barack Obama ought to answer to the same justice as David Arthur. That's justice. Nobody's above it. Justice is a human responsibility. Believers are called to reflect God's justice in their actions. This includes defending the weak, the fatherless, the oppressed, and ensuring fairness in judgment without favoritism towards the rich or the powerful or the guy who can get the best lawyers. Micah 6:8 emphasizes that God requires his people to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. It's the last sermon you've heard on this. Justice in the Bible is closely tied to righteousness and moral integrity. Amos 5:24 uses the imagery of justice rolling like a river. Let righteousness roll down like a mighty river, an ever-flowing stream, highlighting the continuous and active nature of justice in society backed by biblical commands. That's what I say. Proverbs 21:15 notes that when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but fear to the evildoers, showing its societal and spiritual impact. Oh, yeah, Ray, but who are you to judge? Huh? Who are you to judge? The biblical balances justice with mercy, teaching that God's justice is exercised alongside his compassion and mercy. By the way, if somebody goes crosses over the medium line in the car and it's an accident and they kill somebody in the other car, the other person deserves justice. Whether it's physical compensation or the death penalty. By the way, death penalties was God's idea. He sent his own daggone son to do it. Wouldn't it have been a great time when Jesus is hanging on the cross and those two thieves look beside him and say, "Oh, Lord, remember us when you come into our kingdom." The other guy says, "Oh, we don't deserve this. Let us off here. Save us." What Jesus said, "Dude, we're all getting exactly what we deserve." Why? Because justice and mercy mixed together bring true righteousness and equality. Well, this is so deep. So the Bible balances the two, and humans are encouraged to uphold justice while showing kindness and mercy to others. Hey, folks, you know the prisons are full of people because it's a great moneymaker for the government. You know that, don't you? Huh? Couldn't you take some guy out back and give him 16 lashes with something? Say, "Do it again, dude. It's going to cost you your life." Got to lock him up, waste his life for 30 years. Down bars. Come on. Humans are encouraged to uphold justice while showing kindness and mercy and reflecting God's character. Scripture also, remember, God's justice means he protects the one who's been wronged. It's not that he punishes the wicked, although he does. He punishes the wicked because of what they did to the innocent. In the eyes of God, the innocent deserve more. What's the word I'm looking for? Mercy than the one who committed the crime. And the great thing of the gospel is you can commit a murder and still go to heaven. But your earthly life is done. You can call out for Christ on your deathbed and still make it to heaven. He's that just. And if you think he winks and nods at sin. So fair judgment. Here's where the Bible should apply. Fair judgment in courts and in personal decisions. Not can I charge $100 more for this car? Can I maybe get a little bit more? Can I get a little more money out of him? That's not fair. Do unto others as you'd have others to do unto you. Would you want somebody to steal one of the Cokes out of your six pack? Purpose of justice to protect the vulnerable, including widows, orphans, and the poor, and the children. Jesus said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to allow that to happen to a child. Opposition to oppression, bribery, and corruption. And the average church, sorry, Ray, the average church will not confront the government. They don't want to mix religion and politics as if they're different. Living a life of integrity and righteousness in alignment with God's standards, in essence, the Bible calls for justice to activate, to active, impartial, and rooted in God's moral character, giving believers, guiding believers to create a society that mirrors divine fairness and compassion. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom and your principles come. And your will be done here on earth. Let heaven come to earth, not us go to heaven. Wow, that's pretty good. About 4 minutes. Dale. Mary Beth, get ready. Mary Beth, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just telling you, man, the Holy Spirit is going to pour itself out in the last days, and all men will see and experience this. And let me tell you what. There's nothing that man is going to do. You're not going to shake your fist. You're not going to fight that. The power of God, we don't control that. It should control us. And that's what we do. We think, we got this, God. We got this. We don't need you. Let me tell you what. We're poor. We're wretched. We're miserable without Christ.
Amen. Hey, Dale, let me throw this in here real quickly. Mary Beth, I'll get you in here. You know the Bible? I'm talking to you individually, okay? I'm talking to me. Michelle, I'm talking to you. Flee immorality. The Bible says that. Don't run to it. Don't dance with it. Don't try to hide it. Flee from it. Come on in, Mary Beth.
You say too many things that make me want to comment, okay? I'm sorry, but. Yep. So we had a little boy. I have 2 points. We have a little boy that was killed here, hit by somebody, and the person hid. And, you know, that's just a tragedy all around. But that person did not do that intentionally. It was when we had snowbanks. The little boy wandered out of his house. Grandmother didn't lock the door, the whole thing. It's a tragedy all around. That little boy's with Jesus. Praise the Lord. But that's a thing. Justice, that person that hit that kid, justice is going to hit him every single day of his life. You know what I mean? Whoever it was. And then the other point was, you know, I worked for the Postal Service and we always had to go by a higher standard. That's why the Senate and all that, it's crime and misdemeanor, high crime, because we are expected to live to a high, to direct and supervise and whatever, to a higher standard so that, you know, like, yeah, so that's why they need to be punished so that people
Mary, Mary Beth, look, folks, punishment is for the victim. It's for the victim. It's how you show the victim they've been wronged. It's not punishment to be mean. Punishment makes the victim well. You say, well, they killed him. Yeah, was it murder? Then they die. Was it an accident? Well, then we have restrictions on accidental deaths. But the person caused that person's death, there's got to be value. They got to pay something for it, even if it was an accident, right? And we spread mercy where there is no mercy.
Judgment. I agree, Coach.
Mercy follows justice. I got 30 seconds. I'm going to finish up with this. I can't wait for public hangings of our public officials. It has to happen, friends. It has to happen.
Boom. Why?
That's the only way we're going to get it. Harsh behavior leads to harsh times, which requires harsh solutions. See you tomorrow.